because those three things, connection, helping, and appreciation, release oxytocin, serotonin, and dopamine. Those three neurohormones in combination prime the prefrontal cortex. That's what we need to learn.
Welcome to the Teacher Rockstar Podcast. I'm your host, Steve Hiles, and in today's episode, we're going to be discussing creating safe and regulated classrooms, strategies for K-12 success with our special guest, Dr. Bethany Bilodeau. And I would like to go ahead and tell you a little bit about her. Dr. Bilodeau is an expert in human behavior and began teaching high school biology in Guam. She has designed innovative programs to help students achieve success as she holds numerous certifications in behavioral therapies. Welcome to the show, Dr. B. Glad to have you here.
Thanks so much, Steve. I'm so excited to be here. I love your show, so I'm really happy
thank
to be
you.
On.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Would you like to take a moment to tell our audience about your educational journey?
It was a long one, to say the least. I was not a model student growing up and had a lot of struggles in school. I was the kid that was hiding a lot of the time and finding every reason to leave class that I possibly could. And it took me until probably I was close to high school before I really started turning things around due to a personal tragedy and kind of got myself on track, went to college, got my master's, got my doctorate, and started working in the disabilities field. And it evolved from there. Had a challenging child myself who really struggled with school also, and was actually asked to leave 3 daycares before he was 18 months old because of his behavior. So that really set me on the journey of, I've got to find a way to help support and find different strategies that are really going to support my personal kiddo. And then that transitioned into me really working with students.
All right. Yeah. I have to ask you this, because I know this is really a big pain point for a lot of teachers out there, but how can you engage a student, Dr. B, who is blurting out and just refusing to do work of any kind?
It's a major pain point, and it's a pain point because it keeps happening and keeps happening and keeps happening. So it's the annoyance for the teacher of, oh my gosh, this isn't necessarily a safety risk, but it's using all of my energy to try to work with this kid to get this behavior to stop. And when that happens, you end up feeling like, I don't really like this kid so much. He's kind of a pain. I'd rather this kid not be here. And when that happens, that's when the teacher starts to feel like, I'm not feeling so great. I don't know if I want to go into this next class, because they know it's going to be constant. Please stop talking. Please sit down. Please don't do that the entire time. And there's definitely a very easy strategy. And I pride myself on finding really simple but effective strategies for things like that. There's a couple ways. There's a couple ways you can take care of it right at the beginning. My favorite is if you've got a kid that you know is going to blurt something out, I oftentimes walk by them and look like I'm dropping something on the floor by mistake. So I'll be like, oh, whoops, and I'll drop my items. And the kid will lean over to try to help me. And the reason we do that is because 80% of our serotonin is manufactured in our gut, not in our brain. So when you put pressure on the stomach, leaning over to pick something up, that pushes that serotonin out into the bloodstream. So that kid that was going to blurt 2 seconds ago because they needed the feedback from everybody else just got feedback from their own body.
That is amazing.
That's an easy way to do it. If I want to work on this globally with the entire class, some techniques that I'll use is I'll tell the teacher, you've got to pay attention to it. And there's a technique of how you pay attention to it. When you're first doing it, you're paying attention to it at a transition. And the reason why is because if you talk about the blurt in front of a kid who's testing boundaries, they're going to blurt in 2 seconds, right? You tell them not to do something and then they immediately are going to do it. Be like, see, what are you going to do? So you've got to talk about it from the aspect of, oh, they're headed to lunch. Hey, I noticed that none of you blurted out in class for the last 30 seconds. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that you guys were able to control yourselves enough. It shows a lot of maturity to be able to do that. Send them on their very way. So you do it at a transition. Then once they kind of are digging into this after usually 2 to 3 days, then I say, do it in the body of the time. So when kids raising their hand, say, I love your quiet hand. I really appreciate that you have something to share and you're waiting to be called on. As soon as that kid goes and they open their mouth to blurt, your blurter kid, which every teacher has got one of those, I swear. Mm-hmm. That's when you say, oh, I know that you have something to share and I so badly want to hear it, but you're going to have to wait a moment because you're trying to train them that they need to wait too. There are some personality types that have a hard time not blurting and they talk over people. I'm one of them. But it's really important for them to learn how to wait through that process because it's a life skill for us to be able to.
All right. Well, great. You know, and I have to ask you, what are some of the signs that a student will be disruptive?
Oh.
And what interventions, you know, outside of calling for support that will work?
Oh, this is my favorite, Steve. So there's a couple of telltale signs when you've got a kid that's going to be doing this. So one is the body sprawl. You all know that one. The kid that comes into class, it's usually a high schooler, and they're laying down like this, you know, they're like, eh, you know, and so what's his body telling you when he's laying down like that?
You know, I hear what you're saying.
I'm not going to move to
I'm
work.
I'm not going to do it.
I'm taking up territory.
You could do whatever you want, but
yeah,
I'm not going to do anything.
You go pound sand. I'm not doing it right now. They're just telling you my body is taking up space and I am territorial over mm-hmm. this area right now. You cannot get me to do something. So you're going to have to get that kid to sit up. So typically what I do is I come into their personal space a little bit and I usually stand a little bit too close. High schoolers don't like this. So when that happens, what they tend to do is sit up a little bit. Once that happens, I move into that space so that they can't sit back into that sprawl. Another telltale sign of a student that's going to be disruptive is the kid who's perching. They might be doing something or might be bored for a minute. And then all of a sudden you see them sit up for a minute and they're looking around. What do you think they're looking for?
What can I get into next?
Yep. Prey. They're looking for prey. That's exactly what they're doing. They're looking for prey. So they're doing that and you're saying, oh gosh, what are we going to do? Soon as that kid sits up and starts to look around, that's when you say, hey, I noticed that you're doing this, or I noticed that you're almost finished, or I noticed that you pulled out your black pen. Hey, can you go get this too? That's when you give them a movement break or you give them an activity to do, or you engage them in something that's a preferred topic. So, hey, I know you got a new puppy. What is your puppy doing right now? Like, do you crate train them? Do you do this? If you can get them into a preferred topic, that usually will delay the disruption. So those are the two big ones that we tend
big
to
ones.
See.
Absolutely. Well, let me ask you this, Dr. B. What can I do to regulate a class if they're acting tired and disengaged, okay, or wound up, you know, trying to instigate other people around, you know?
Are you a teacher who finds yourself drowning in the challenges of classroom management? Do student behaviors leave you feeling overwhelmed and drained at the end of each day? Picture this, a classroom where your students are not just present, but fully engaged, focused, and eager to learn. Say goodbye to classroom management stress and hello to success. The Teacher Rockstar Academy course is meticulously designed to equip you with the tools and strategies needed to skyrocket your effectiveness as a teacher. Curious to know if the Teacher Rockstar Academy course is the missing piece in your teaching journey? If you're ready to reclaim control of your classroom and witness the incredible impact on your students, then use the link in the podcast description to learn more about this program.
So if they're tired, they're coming in really tired. One of my favorite tricks is you're going to flip up all the lights and you're going to put on like binaural beats or something like that out of a focus type. You can go onto YouTube and just pull those up and that's going to help get their brain to a place where they're more focused or something like that. Or sometimes I'll take roll call in a way where I'm like, okay, everybody stand up, balance on one foot, and we'll take roll call that way. And as I'm doing it, I'm saying, okay, what was your favorite food? What what's your favorite food? What's your favorite food? And then I'll be like, okay, everybody get this certain item out of your bag. We need it in a moment, you know, whether it's your science book or whatever it may be. The reason why I'm doing that is because I want them to engage with each other. So they're connecting. I want them to do something productive. They're getting something out of their bag. And I want them to share something they appreciate. And the reason why is because those three things, connection, helping, and appreciation, release oxytocin, serotonin, and dopamine. Those three neurohormones in combination prime the prefrontal cortex. That's what we need to learn. So that's a great way to do that. So for my kids that are more in hyper aroused, those are oftentimes your elementary kids or your high school kids later day. When they're coming into the classroom, I have the overhead lights turned down because we want to take off some of that sensory stimuli. I oftentimes will have a video of waves or rain or something with water because water is a natural human regulator for all humans. So yeah. Water, it's, you know, the age old story of the kid who doesn't want to take a shower. No, I'm not taking a shower. You got to take a shower. You smell like a stinky foot. No, I don't want to do it. And so you send them into the bathroom and, you know, they come out and you're like, you did not take a shower. And they're like, yes, I did. And I'm like, nope. Can tell your hair's not wet, nothing else. Yes, but my body is a little wet. Mm-hmm, yeah, you turned on the water, you stuck an arm in, get back in there. You finally get them in the shower. You hear them singing a few minutes later, and then you're banging on the door saying, are you going to come out? Come on, you've been in there like 30 minutes. There's other people that need to shower. And the kid comes out, I love you, mom. I love you, dad. You know, same thing will work at school. Obviously, they're not going to probably be taking a shower unless PE, but have them fill water bottles, have them water plants, have them do, you know, activities with that, put on sounds of rain, put on a video of a waterfall, you know, all of those things will help regulate.
Yeah, that is fantastic. Let me kind of springboard off that. Now, do you use music a lot in your therapies?
I do.
Yeah, I mean,
music activates all areas of the brain, and it can evoke an emotion. So if I've got kids that, you know, like tomorrow, we have a bunch of students that are going out that we have to clean. We're doing trash because of Earth Day this week. So we're going out and picking up trash. So, you know, I'll be putting on some sort of, you know, rock music and things like that to be like, you know, come on, let's go. Bon Jovi, help us, bring us along.
Yeah, I'm a firm believer. I love incorporating music in the classroom itself. Now, you mentioned lighting too.
Yeah.
And I know fluorescent lighting is probably the worst, isn't it?
It is.
And isn't it odd that here in 2025, we're still building schools that have fluorescent lighting?
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Yep.
I don't understand
so many.
That.
I mean, that's why when you have the one student that, you know, the parents are like, we don't know what's going on. He only has challenges at school. What is up? A lot of times it's that particular student can feel the building noise. They can feel the, you know, air conditioning units. They can feel the projectors. They can feel all that. And it's causing lots of stress on their nervous system. That's why they oftentimes interact much better outside. I always say, you know, seat that kid by a window. They need the natural light as much as they possibly
absolutely.
Can.
Yeah. And I just wish schools had more natural light in the room. Well, let me ask you this then. What is the most helpful thing that a teacher can do, especially, you know, when you have this student that has had a behavior that led them to having to leave the class or worse, leave the school.
Yeah. Empathy and welcoming them back. I mean, that's the big thing. So many kids, so many students that I work with tell me, nobody wants me. Nobody wants me, you know, and they genuinely feel that way. So my goal, every time I work with a student, I want them to feel like it is the best part of my week. Like that's, I don't often see the same students 2 days in a row because I'm in a lot of different buildings.
Sure.
So whenever I am with them, and that's hard when you're not a guest star. I have it a lot easier because I'm a guest star, but you know, it's, you know, you really want them to feel like we want you here, especially if they've gotten a suspension or they've been away at a placement facility or something like that. When they're back, you know, we're so happy you're here. We're so glad to have you back because they pick up that nonverbal body language. Ooh, man. And if they don't feel like it's positive, then it's absolutely negative. That's just how it's viewed. So they've got to feel wanted. Everybody wants to feel valuable. And I tell my students that too about their teacher. You know, teacher wants to feel valuable. Yeah. Make sure you're telling them, thank you for what you do, even if you're not doing the work.
I hear you. Well, let me ask you, you know, your behavior boot camp, you know, is a notable program. You know, it's offered by Core Methods. How does this initiative equip educators with the tools to, you know, reintegrate students into their classes effectively? And, you know, what outcomes have you observed from its implementation?
Well, there's very few programs that teach behavior management and really teach how to reach a lot of these more challenging students. Mm-hmm. And I will say, you know, 5-10 years ago, it was maybe 5-10% of the population. Now we're looking at, you know, 30% of the population is experiencing these behaviors. It's like 56% of students now have some intense behavioral incidences at school. That's a huge percentage right now. And so we want to make sure that we're really giving educators the tools that they need to, one, connect very, very quickly with a student. If you, this is the first day you've met the student, you need strategies on how to do it. And that can be done through body language, through mirroring, through the triple nod, through the double because, saying because two times in a sentence with a student instead of saying it once. That will make those relationships happen very, very quickly. And once they have that, be able to know those little strategies, like the bending over and putting pressure on the stomach and all of those other little pieces, because we've got 100 of them.
Could you use an example where you would use because twice? I mean, that's really fascinating.
So if I asked a student to do something that they really didn't, that I knew that they weren't comfortable doing or didn't want to do, I would say something like, I know that you can do this because you are the type of student that really puts in the time, because you really want to make sure that you're getting the most learning out of it and you're understanding the why behind what you're learning.
Okay. All right. Very good. Well, I'll tell you what, a valuable tip there, I'll tell you. Now, let me ask you, Dr. B, for educators, you know, like I say, this show is primarily specifically for the first year teacher, student teachers, or, you know, but what can the teacher new to trauma-informed practices, what initial steps would you suggest that they take to begin integrating safety and regulation strategies in their teaching methods?
I think the biggest thing is feeling safe yourself, like knowing what strategies are going to help you feel safe and taking time for self-care and making sure you're feeling safe. Because even if you think you're hiding it, typically students can sense it, and your higher anxiety students and also your students who are a little bit oppositional, they're gonna feel that out and know that. So making sure that you feel safe, finding mentors to help you feel comfortable with that and finding those strategies that are gonna do that. We do a lot of training on how to provide different self-care strategies for teachers to make sure that they're taking care of themselves and they're feeling like they're safe in their environments, and knowing what's going to make you feel safe when you're there, having backup procedures and things like that for things that might occur so that you feel safe, but taking a moment to yourself, taking a deep breath and saying, I've got this, and talking to yourself about that and making yourself feel comfortable and safe within your own body. So lots of techniques we use for kids as far as, you know, keeping the thumbs lifted because that conveys confidence, tilting the head to the left because that conveys empathy, using a lot of little body language strategies that we use with the adults too, so that they feel safe. Because oftentimes we're interacting with staff when there's been a major physical incident and they need to debrief in order for that student to get back into that learning environment.
Okay, well, let me ask you this, because this happened, you know, real life experience here. I had a student at one point go around, just had a mental meltdown, tearing everything off the walls, knocking over my anchor charts, kicking the trash can around. And I had a classroom in there, obviously. And he's doing this. What, again, during that specific time, you know, what do you do? What can you do? I mean, I know what I did, but I mean, what?
So I typically, I'm waiting for the person to de-escalate for a moment because you can only stay in a state of crisis for up to 3 minutes. So as they're stomping around and kicking things and throwing things and ripping things off, I'm watching their shoulders. So as soon as their shoulders let down for a second and they take a deep breath, that's when they're actually coming out of crisis for just a couple seconds. They'll go back in if you don't pull them out at that point. So I'm not saying anything. I'm oftentimes signaling to the other students to leave the classroom. I'm just there for safety in between that student and the other students to make sure the other students stay safe. As soon as those shoulders come down, I would say, buddy, I know that this looks like it's really hard. You look frustrated. Can I get you some water? You know, do you need a weighted blanket? Do you have someplace you want to sit? Can I put something on? So first time, they're probably going to be like, no, and you know, F you, that sort of thing. And continue to destruct. But usually by the second time or third time, because it's usually only about 45 to 60 seconds that they're going through this, they'll turn to me and usually say, yes, I want this. And they'll still be angry. And I'll say, I'm just here for safety. Do you need for me to step back further? Are you okay? And as soon as I put my safety into their hands at that point, then that's usually where they let it out. They either cry or they're like, I just don't know what's wrong, you know, and they start to tell me what the situation is.
Yeah.
And everything.
Okay. Yeah. Cause that could be very traumatic even to the other children.
Traumatic to everybody, to the teacher, the other student. And again, a lot of debriefing is often needed because everybody feels like this was out of our control and we don't feel safe. And how can we feel safe again? And they're very nervous about that student. That's a good example of a student returning. They're very nervous about that student returning. And the nonverbal body language that that student receives sometimes sets that student up to have another incident because they feel like people are looking at them like they're going to have this incident. So they get very nervous about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. I'll tell you something else. Well, Dr. B, let me ask you this. Now, I know you got lots of takeaways here, but what would be your biggest takeaway that you would like to share with our audience today? I mean,
safety first. Can't learn if you don't feel safe. You can't take risks if you don't feel safe. And that's what we're asking learners to do every day. Take a risk, learn something new, take a risk, show us what you've learned. And in order to do that, they have to feel safe. And the educators have to feel safe too.
Absolutely. Okay. How can folks connect with you? They want more information.
Yeah. The best way is probably through our website, www.thebehaviorbootcamp.com.
Okay. Wonderful. And I'll make sure I add that to the YouTube show notes as well as my podcast as well. Well, I'll tell you, Dr. B, this has been fantastic. I know our audience probably got tons of value from this, and I really appreciate you taking the time to come on the show. I'd love to have you again,
Thank you. I would love to come back, Steve. This was fun.
We could probably talk about this subject for a long, long time.
All day. Again. I could have done 2 hours just on the signs of disruption.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, thank you again. And you have an awesome, awesome day.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, folks, that's it for this episode here. We have come to the end of it today. I want to thank you for listening to the Teacher Rockstar podcast. I'm your host, Steve Hiles. And we will see you same time, same place next week. And remember, you got this.
You've been listening to the Teacher Rockstar podcast with your host, Steve Hiles. We hope you've enjoyed this podcast as much as we have. Make sure to hit that subscribe button and join our ever-growing community of teacher rock stars. Until then, thanks for listening.